Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, I hate you. Now tell everyone why.
well Chris, so the situation is as follows. I, Pete Donaldson, decided to start eating a big bowl of very unhealthy chocolate granola from your Waitrose just as the podcast started. Because that's what people say. They love the ASMR sound of a person chomping away on cereal. Except they don't. Everyone hates that. Everyone's made that very clear in emails and tweets and stuff. And then I spent forgot to click record on the recording. So we just did about 5 or 10 minutes talking about ASMR and how I like the ASMR woman who gets her fingernails and sort of rubs it on like a hairbrush, like a wooden hairbrush. Now, I really like that sort of thing. And we decided we're going to start a new podcast where I just eat granola like that. You having a bit of that? Ugh, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
We recorded the best 5 minutes of podcast history, and you didn't have the record button going. But yeah, I've never really got ASMR. It's a weird thing, and I don't know why you like a woman using her fingernails to scrape across a wooden hairbrush. Why does that? How do you derive pleasure from that? Why do you derive pleasure from that? I don't know.
Look, the main point is it's nothing sexual. My partner enjoys indulging every now and again, but I didn't think I'd sort of get it. But but it's just that thing. It's just the woman with the hairbrush going tick, and it just kind of it makes you the back of your neck sort of tingle a little bit, and it relaxes you. It's like having a massage, I suppose.
Never got on ASMR. Don't think Never I ever will. I've only shot one ASMR video with Natsuki. I don't know if you saw it. It was 30 famous people you want to take on a picnic with you. And he just read off a list of celebrity names, but he messed up nearly every single one. For example, he read Charles Dickens as Charlie Dickman. Natsuki like messing up reading. It's great though. That's on the second
Charlie
channel. That
Dickman.
Is quality
what a
content.
Wonderful, what a wonderful bastardization of his name.
Charlie Dickens. I just discovered a wonderful sushi restaurant next to Sendai. There's a town called Shiogama, which literally means salt place, and they've got
salt
like the best like tuna and sushi in all of Japan. And I felt really bad the other day. My sister, I sent her a photo just sort of showing off that I was eating this amazing tuna, and she sent me a photo of Yo Sushi, the British sushi restaurant, and she wasn't giving it the best review. But I felt a little sense of guilt. But benefits of living in Sendai, live next to Shiogama.
Yeah. Or just Japan at all. Chris, absolutely. I'm hearing that apparently...
Forget about that.
I mean, if you're giving it the big licks about, you know, being able to eat sushi in Japan, I mean, like, fine, I'll take that one on the chin, but you do live in Japan, and you do have to travel quite a way to sort of get there to get the sushi. I don't know. I would say, I've been hearing, Chris, that there might be sort of some movements, sort of people who are starting some education fairly soon. People sort of getting into the country to start their, like, you know, jet programs and stuff like that. That's what I've been hearing on the grapevine.
I don't know. I think so. I think some people have come here as teachers. Right. I do know that a lot of people that were teaching, right, on the JET program, I think you get a limit of 5 years. And because there were no people coming in to fill those roles, schools did the very rare thing of letting JET teachers stay on an extra year or two, I think. So
right, okay.
We've got some people here 6 or 7 years. Truly outstayed their welcome. But you do feel a bit weird being on the JET program for that long. I think it must feel a bit odd. But yeah, fair play to them. I don't really know, though. I know a few friends. I know Connor recently went back to the UK. So he went he went the other way. I was going to say the wrong way. Although I'm kind of envious. I'd love to go back to the UK for a little bit. I'm losing my mind. I just need to not be in Japan for like a week. It's all a bit weird, Pete. It's all driving me a bit mad.
Do you feel like you've been left behind a little bit?
Yes. Without Connor, I'm nothing. No, I would love to go to the UK. I really would. But I'm still not willing to go through the hurdles to get there. Like the quarantines on both ends and all the jabs and all the... And I've had both jabs, but, you know, you've got to have things shoved up your nose. It just sounds brutal. And then when you come back to Japan, you've got to sit in like a solitary confinement for something like 6 days, I think, which would just finish me off, I think. I don't know. And you just don't know, you know. You might leave Japan, get back to the UK, and then Japan just shuts its doors because it's having a bad time at the moment. So, I don't know. I'd give anything to be in your shoes, Pete. And eat a sausage roll and some not chocolate shoes, granola.
I'm not wearing shoes. I've got a lovely. I bought a lovely rug for my little studio I built, and so I do not require any shoes right now. It's still relatively warm, even though we've not really had that much of a summer in England. And I think, you know, as people sort of understand, British people, all we do is talk about the weather because we have very strange weather. Sometimes it's rainy, sometimes it's sunny. But most of the time, it's just a little bit grey and miserable.
It's always grey and miserable, Pete, and I don't miss that. But no. I guess one thing that's been keeping me occupied is filling up the brand new Abroad in Japan studio with lots of things, and it's finally starting to take shape. It's got a sofa, an L-shaped sofa that I can lounge on, and a table. Got a whiteboard now, got a massive green screen. It's really starting to take shape. It's really kind of exciting. I've never got to put things in a room before on this scale. And it's just magical interior design.
You're just going to have like this big kind of a Abroad in Japan set, basically, to make your Abroad in Japan TV shows.
Exactly. I've enlisted the help of a professional set designer who I think worked on the Olympic opening ceremony, amongst other things. But he's really good. He came in and I shared my vision. I basically pointed at a wall and said, Blade Runner, do Blade Runner. And he went, yes. And then he sketched out some ideas and I said, yes. And... So it's coming along nicely. It should be lots of neon, should be like a ramen bar, should be all sorts of cool stuff. But I'll get into that nearer the time. It's going to take 2 months to build the whole thing, but it is going to be good.
Oh, Nelly.
It's just nice to have a set, though. It's going to be exciting to experiment and just not film in my bedroom anymore. It's exciting. After 9 years, why did it take so long? Why am I so shit at getting things done? It took me 8 years to not edit on a laptop anymore and get an actual desktop computer with a screen that you can actually see when you edit. It took me 9 years to get an editor for some reason. I don't know. Why am I so rubbish? I should have got like a set 3 years ago. I should have got an editor 4 years ago. I should have got a desktop computer 8 years ago.
Yeah, but are you even letting the editor, you know, edit anything? Because you're very careful. Every now and again, you'll toss and chop. Every now and again. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's done a good
job. It's a good example. Look, if you want to have a job where you don't have to do anything, just work for Chris because he is so precious about his own material. He'll never make you do anything.
Our editor does listen to this podcast, I think. He claims to. And we'll know. This will be the ultimate test when he comes to me and says, I'm going to kill you. We'll know now if he actually listens to the podcast. He has done a great job, though. He's been editing a video with Ryota and I in Asakusa that's coming out. He did the capsule building one that came out a few weeks ago.
Oh, I love that one. That was great. Yeah. I enjoyed very much the fact when you were, I think I mentioned it before, you put Too Much Volcano on the Nagakin Capsule Hotel radio, which I very much
enjoyed. No, we didn't. That just came out naturally. That was just
sorry, it just came out naturally because it's, you know, it's a smash.
Japanese radio, isn't it?
It's an international smash.
Too Much Volcano. Well, we've got a story this week from Mike from Wisconsin. Have you ever been to Wisconsin, Pete?
I've not, no.
Do you know of Wisconsin?
No. Have I been to Wisconsin?
What's
Let me Let me just go. Let me just find out where Wisconsin is, and I'll tell you where I've been.
All right, you do that, and I'll read out Mike's story. Wisconsin. Greetings, Christopher and Peterfer. I'm Mike from Wisconsin, long-time listener and viewer, first-time faxer. I wanted to write and tell one of the most devastating stories I have from my time in Japan. In 2016, I was incredibly excited to be accepted into the JET program and placed in Fukushima to teach English in the city of Shirakawa. My wife and I moved there together in July with plans for our 13-year-old son to come over under the care of my wife's mother and aunt for January. In true dad planning mode, I didn't anticipate how hard it would be to find a hotel in late December, much less 2 days before New Year's. Oh, good God. I felt relieved and extremely lucky to find the one place on Airbnb that fit all of my needs. It was available in an area of Tokyo that wasn't too far from the airport. It had separate rooms and it was relatively cheap. It even listed as kid-friendly. I smugly booked it and assured everyone to trust me because I had everything covered. Fast forward to their arrival, my wife and I got delayed on one of the trains to pick them up at Narita Airport, so everyone was tired and eager to get to the hotel and sleep. First sign that something wasn't right was when we got to the part of the town where the B&B was and there was just a lot of bars and nightlife attractions. After almost an hour of wandering through the area, I finally found the address and told everyone else to wait outside while I went up to the second floor to figure out the situation. When I got there, all I could find was a karaoke box and the entrance to what looked like a bar. I decided to call the number for the Airbnb owner. I explained the situation, and in her hard-to-understand English, she directed me to a door that I thought was a bar, but actually turned out to be our accommodation for the evening. When I entered, I found a man asleep behind a small check-in window, the smell of cigarette smoke thick in the air, and a sign listing the rates of rooms by the hour. That's right, I'd booked a love hotel. For me and my wife and my 13-year-old son and my mother-in-law and my aunt-in-law.
Yay!
Oh, good God. Good God, Mike. I made my way down the stairs slowly with the dread of what I needed to explain to my exhausted family. Nobody was excited about it, but there was also no other place we could stay that night. We hauled all the luggage up to the sketchy little love hotel. I had to try to explain to the man behind the counter in my mediocre Japanese that we had booked the place on Airbnb, to which he seemed to have no idea about. Oh, good God, what's going on here? I showed him the email and communications with the owner, and he finally understood, or just gave up, and led us down the narrow hallway to one of our two small rooms. This wasn't even one of the nice themed love hotels you see in videos. The beds and the pillows were made of vinyl, so they could easily be sanitized. Directly on the other side of the thin wall was the karaoke booth that, to its credit, was occupied by some thankfully good singers for much of the night. There were many other rowdy and loud patrons to the Love Hotel throughout the night as well. Needless to say, it was not the relaxing and restful experience we were hoping for. I was appalled at the situation. I just put everyone in. But my mother-in-law and aunt had a good sense of humour, and we all still laugh about it to this day. I eventually did end up getting a full refund from the Airbnb after complaining, and the only change they made to the listing was to remove the kid-friendly portion. All the best to you guys. Mike from Wisconsin. Love hotel booking guy. Good God. Easily done, Mike. Easily done. What do you reckon?
It is easily done. Well, is it easily done? I mean, yeah, the photographs must have been absolute nonsense, because you're looking at that and you turn up and you've got to jam about four different people into like one room in a love hotel. Absolutely. But I very much enjoy the vinyl pillows and the vinyl beds and stuff. Absolutely disgusting. Was that my phone? My phone. I never do that. My phone's never on loud. Sorry, guys.
You're a disgrace.
I'm eating cereal. I've got my phone on loud. Terrible news.
You've forgotten to hit record.
I forgot to hit record.
This is a disgrace.
Classic. Classic me.
It is easy to mistakenly book these love hotels, though. I've nearly done it a few times on booking.com because love hotels... It's funny, before COVID, the love hotels were all changing to become normal hotels, right? To appeal to the many tourists that were coming into Japan. So they kind of got rid of all the themed hotels. They kind of stripped away a lot of the sort of sexiness of love hotels and tried to make them more like standard hotels and then stick them on booking.com. And so this happens quite a lot. It happens quite often. However, because of COVID and the fact there's now zero tourists, completely like no tourists at all, a lot of these hotels are in big trouble because love hotels are booming as couples who can't leave Japan or really do anything are retreating to Love Hotels to have like a little weekend getaway. Like when I did the that Love Hotel video with Connor a few months ago, I asked the owner of the Love Hotel, Shishidor Sam, who's the crazy wacky guy who appeared in two of my Love Hotel videos. I sort of said to him, like, how's business? And he said, oh, it's very good. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So while all hotels in Japan are stuffed, he's cashing in big time. These Love Hotels are doing great.
Well, I mean, hotels are so expensive in Japan, so I understand why they try to sort of grab the sort of tourist market, because I think we don't have quite as exacting standards as those in Japan. The only difference is it's the smoking aspect, isn't it? If there were no smoking in most of the rooms in Love Hotels, I think they'd be way more palatable to a Western audience. But as it stands, because everyone's got a tab on all the time, everyone's got a fag hanging out their mouth. It's difficult, isn't it? And the whole of the hotels, Love Hotel or otherwise, always absolutely stink of smoke.
Well, I think I told you I got back from filming with Connor in Shikoku amongst other things. But we actually went to Osaka, and we went for Connor's video. Naturally, he was like, "I want to do a Love Hotel, Love Hotels." So his video, it's just us going into like five or six Love Hotels. Two of them turn us away for being guys. They were like, no, right. Two men, no.
No, two men.
No, they said that. They said, futari danse dame, literally, two men, no, or two men, no good. And I think he filmed it on the GoPro, so that'll be great for the video. Got the scoop, so to speak. Well done, Connor. Got the scoop. Somebody hit the record button. Well done. Not everyone could do that. And it should be a good video. But some of those Love Hotels were absolutely dreadful. Like, we went in six, two of them I was nearly sick in. And it's really bad. It's really bad. So be careful. Choose your Love Hotels. Do some research online. Read the reviews first, as you should for hotels, as you should for Airbnb. But
as you should for anything.
As you should. And for the video with Connor in Shikoku, he dragged me to the worst hotel in Shikoku, and that was really bad. I can't remember if I told you about that, but there was mold in the room. There was a lot of things under the bed, and we checked out after 2 hours because we both felt really ill because the room was just smelt really badly of smoke and mold. So I think we're about to shatter the image of Japan being like a clean place, right? It's coming down
Gross.
This month. It's bad.
It's going at you. Chris, have you heard about the roller coaster that just will not quit on people's bones?
Yeah. I mean, this is really sad. So my favourite theme park in Japan, Fuji Q. You haven't been there, have you? The one overlooking Mount Fuji?
No, I really haven't.
It's so good. Like, easily the best theme park in Japan. Way better than Disney and Universal Studios. Love it. They got like a big ride where you could go up the roller coaster and get an amazing view of Mount Fuji, because Fuji Q is at the base of Mount Fuji. And I did put it in a video once. I went there with Sharla before Journey Across Japan, and took her on the roller coaster, which she had a phobia on, and she screamed and she swore, and it was pretty funny. But there's a ride there that's very similar to a theme park ride called Stealth at Alton Towers in the UK. It's got lots of different names around the world, but it's one of those roller coasters that accelerates you to 180 kilometers per hour in 1.56 seconds. And it turns out this ride, which is called Dodonpa, it's quite awkwardly Dodonpa, it's been breaking lots of necks, breaking and fracturing people's bones
lots
and
necks. Breaking lots of hearts, breaking lots of necks. And like, so. Is this something? Why is this kind of roller coaster that presumably has been used all around the world? The R&D on this sort of thing is so expensive that you'll sort of see the same roller coaster repeated with some modifications. Why is it over here that, you know, 3.75 Gs just is absolutely decimating people's necks and backs and stuff like that? Well, I know why. I just don't understand why it's happening here.
Have you ever been on one of these rides that accelerates you to, you know, 180 kilometres in 2 seconds?
I went on Southend Pier a few weeks ago on the roller coaster, the Dragon, which was very sedate. One for kids, basically. It's very high up, but it's very slow. So, yes, I have.
0 to 10 kilometres per hour in 5 seconds. I mean, I've been on one of these rides. I went on Stealth at Thorpe Park in the UK. And it is insane. Yeah. It's pretty creepy. You sit in the roller coaster. It has like a flashing lights, a traffic light kind of signal. It counts down. It goes green. And then you just sort of shoot off like a rocket. And it's over before it's even begun. It uses electromagnets to propel it. I'm not in the slightest surprised that some people have had their necks kind of buggered from this, or they've had like bones broken. I do worry though that it could like really affect the theme park, because you know, people in Japan are very conscious of safety and things like that, and hearing something like that, it could really damage the theme park. But
the Dodonpa, whatever you call it, it's something like 210,000 visitors have ridden it since December, and there's been 9 injury claims. I mean, I like those odds. We're all about odds in the modern world, aren't we?
Absolutely. I mean, that's not too bad, but I think they had 4 cases of Dodonpa. I think Dodonpa, I can't even say it. It's such a weird bloody
like
name.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah. It's the sound of the roller coaster, right? The noise it makes.
It's the sound of your vertebrae separating.
It's the sound of your neck ring snap like a bloody twig. But it kind of pushes your body back really, like kind of like a Tesla, when someone accelerates a Tesla, like the way you go back into the seat. But
all right, put it back in the box, old Musk. Calm it down.
Come on, Elon Musk. I think both men and women between the ages of 30 and 59 have suffered broken bones on the ride. But 9 injuries out of 210,000. I'll take those odds. I'll do it. Mm. But you must go to Fuji Q. You must go. It's got the best. It's got like a ghost house, which is like a massive hospital. And they staff it with zombies who are just actors that act very well, to be fair. And I have a tendency to just leave my friends behind and run off when a zombie pops out. as he would.
I bloody love roller coasters. I'm well up for a visit to Suzy Q, whatever.
Suzy Q?
Wasn't it a singer out of a band, Suzy Q?
But, I mean, I think for the most part, Japanese theme park's pretty good. I think another good theme park is Nasu Highland Park in Tochigi Prefecture. I've never been to a theme park where there was no one there, but I've been there twice and there's no one ever there. But it's got like 7 roller coasters and they're all pretty good. And Nasu Highland Park. It's in a video I made years ago in Natsuki called How to Lose Weight in Japan, Week 1 or Week 2, I forget. We went there to make a video. We didn't really film anything. I was having too much fun. Mm. But there's a few excerpts, there's a few clips of it. But like Natsuki and I went around the theme, like went on the roller coaster, and after we got round it and we're about to get off, we just said, can we go on it again? Because there's no other customers on the queue. And he just let us go around it like 3 or 4 times. It's amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's the best kind of theme park. Nasu Highland Park in Tochigi. It's great. It's and avoid Disneyland, but Universal Studios is good.
Right.
That's my ranking system. Number 1, Fuji Q. Number 2, Universal Studios. To be fair, there's a lot of cool stuff there. I'm all up for Harry Potter World. Not so sure about the Mario Park yet. It did look kind of cool. The old Mario Park. Does that pique your interest?
I'd love a bit of that, Chris. I'd love to get involved in the old Marios. Aren't they going to be creating like Ubisoft World somewhere? I want to say that's happening somewhere in like Taiwan or something strange like that. After the success, limited success, because there's only 3 people who can get there in there at the same time of the old Mario World, Nintendo World.
Ubisoft World, what's all the rides going to be? Are they going to look really good in the trailers and then just be rubbish when you actually ride
political,
them?
Political satire from Chris. We don't expect that kind of behaviour.
It's Ubisoft. They it's make Ubisoft, the trailers for everything look so good, and you play the game and it's like 50% of as good as it looks in the trailers. Why they do that, Pete? Why can't they just make a game that's good? To be fair, Far Cry 5 was good. I'll give him that.
Far Cry, the new Far Cry is coming out with the bloke out of Breaking Bad. That's coming out very soon. People have been reviewing it, or previewing it rather. And I love Far Cry. It's definitely my game, I think. Once that comes out, I'm going to play that to death, I think.
I mean, I remember playing the original Far Cry, completely underrated game. Just pretty cool to enter a sandbox world and just be able to choose which sort of way you go to your end destination. It's like remember lots of paragliders, lots of paragliding.
Yes,
because it was set on this like tropical paradise, right? And you could like like grab a hand glider, sail through the air, shoot a few people. It was glorious.
It's lovely.
Things I wish I could do in real life. But no, it's great. Love Far Cry. Not so sure about their other games, though. Watch Dogs, don't know. Like, they didn't do so well there.
No.
But I haven't come here to rant about Ubisoft. I've come here to tell you that it's time for the fax machine after this quick break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson, from our listeners?
We got a message from Ven. Hello, Ven. Great name, great email, presumably. Dear Chris Otero and Peter, son of Donald, my name is Ven, and I'm writing to you from a very rainy Manchester. My question to you is, what do you think Japan of 2035 will look like? Have the Chris Broad branded drones with added claw hammers taken over the skies of Sendai? Will Pete Donaldson finally have the furniture for his new pad? Kind regards, Ven. I probably won't have got all the furniture for my new pad, to be quite frank.
I don't even know if I'll be here in 2035. I'll be dead by then. My diet of chicken and despair. I think the population of Japan is going to plummet massively in the next 10 years. I think it was going to slip beneath 100 million by 2035, right, they believed. And it was going to go to 80 million by 2050, which is an astronomical drop from 126 million where it is now. So
yeah,
I think the countryside is going to look a lot emptier. There's going to be a lot of empty buildings, unfortunately. But then maybe Japan needs a bit of depopulation because it's just so bloody full of people and it's so damn busy. Don't know. I think, and also what else they got coming up in 2035? They've got the maglev train between Tokyo and Nagoya, which is supposed to cut down the railway times by about 3 minutes. That's going to be good.
Oh, interesting.
And it's supposed to be a lot faster. I think the current time between Tokyo and Nagoya is about 2 hours or 90 minutes, and it's going to cut that down to about an hour. Only problem is the maglev train, I think there's only one track, or they can fit fewer people on the trains, and there's going to be less of them. So really, it's not going to solve that many issues, but it'll
sounds
be a lot
like
more
a premium
fun.
Premium service
faster.
To me.
Should be fun. I know you like your swanky train seats. I know you love your high-tech trains.
Is it Shanghai where we went? The maglev's in Shanghai, isn't it? One of them anyway. It seems to be so expensive, prohibitively expensive, that you can only use it in certain situations, which is hilarious.
And because the the way it operates, it's kind of in a straight line, which means they've had to burrow their way through all the mountains of central Japan, which is an astonishing feat of engineering. But I think the first link between Tokyo and Nagoya actually opens in 2027, and then by 2030 or 2035, the whole route to Osaka should be up and running. So that's my prediction: less people, faster trains, brilliant. I don't know. What else do you think will be going on in Japan 2035, Pete?
If anyone can do it train-wise, I think the Japanese can do it. The thing is, though, they'll probably get their head around Zoom calls by then, and which means you don't even have to travel to Osaka to do anything.
That's true.
So it'll just be used as cargo routes, maybe.
Cargo routes. Japan has actually finally embraced the idea of doing remote work. I know Ryotaro was trying to encourage people to... He's sort of doing some sort of promotion at the moment where he's trying to encourage people to go and live in like a hut in the mountains and just do remote working. Although I don't know how popular that is. But yeah, I think people are embracing doing Zoom in Japan. So yeah, I don't know what the future holds for Japan. I can't say... I'd like to say I'm optimistic, but I'm not. The reason is Japan has an astonishing amount of national debt. It's got the worst debt ratio of any country on earth. And you might argue that Japan has a very unique system, a very unique financial structure. But I do think Japan is going to be have a big problem in around 2030. Because right now, so much of the population is elderly. They're not having enough kids. And it's a reverse pyramid in terms of... In terms of demographics, there's not enough people to pay the pensions. So I don't know what they're going to do. Pete. What are they going to do? Robots? Is it going to be robots?
There'll be some kind of solution involving robots and boobs. That's what they do in Japan. It's what they're obsessed with.
It's going to be robots. And it's going to be love hotels. Just like Mike went to in the story earlier on. We got one here from Giselle. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm writing to you guys from White Rock in British Columbia." White Rock just sounds so cool. "Normally, I'll be writing in from Logan Lake, but I was ordered to evacuate yesterday afternoon because of a massive out-of-control wildfire." Good Lord. This brings me to my question. What happens in Japan when a disaster hits or is about to hit? And there is time to act before loss of life occurs. What do people do? Where do people go? We had been on alert for a week before we got the order to leave. I had time to gather my things and pets and find a safe place to stay. When the order came through to leave, we were ready. I hope to be able to go home soon and have a home to go to. Cheers, guys. All the best. Giselle." Good God. I hope you're okay, Giselle. I hope you got out safe. You know, these wildfires are insane. I saw a... drone footage of half of Siberia on fire the other day, a fire in Siberia that completely dwarfed all the other fires going on in the world, I think. These wildfires are insane.
I just think you look at the rains and the tornadoes and stuff in New Orleans and stuff. Half all the banks and the hospitals they're getting their roofs torn off them. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going out there. So, look, if you're listening to Abroad Japan and you are displaced, I hope you get home soon. I hope you're safe and sound.
Absolutely. I think we take it for granted in the UK how lucky we are that nothing bad really happens. We don't have any bears, we don't have any lions or snakes or killer spiders. We don't have any tornadoes or typhoons or hurricanes or earthquakes or nuclear disasters. It's a pretty standard country, but we still find things to whinge about and complain about. Whereas every other country in the world, there's so many things going on. What's
the
wrong
trade-off
with
is very much. The trade-off is very much. If you've got nice hot weather, you get the snakes and the tornadoes and the typhoons and all that stuff. But that we've got quite grey, sort of basic, sort of standard, doesn't really go anywhere weather. So we're very lucky, like you said, very very lucky indeed.
But as to Japan and disasters, I mean, I think they're pretty prepared now for things like tsunamis and earthquakes. Whenever there's an earthquake, you get a little warning on your phone pop up seconds before the earthquake arrives, which of course is not really any time to prepare for anything. But when an earthquake happens, it sends out these little shock waves ahead of time, right? These little sort of supersonic pulses of energy. And they use earthquake trackers to track those, set off the alarms before the actual serious earthquake arrives. But I hope they're better prepared for tsunamis now, though, because obviously that was one of the biggest problems in 2011 when the big one hit, and so many coastal towns were sort of washed away along the coastline of Miyagi. I think they've got a lot more sirens and things in place now, though. But when there is a disaster, what typically happens is people go to a designated zone, like a school hall, like a big gym, the school gym or something. They go there and escape there, and that kind of helps. But Japan is pretty good, though, at getting through things like that.
Well, they sort of detect it through, like, groundwater swells and stuff like that. I noticed in Fukuoka Castle, they had these kind of big, ancient wells that, you know, back in the day you'd be getting all of this water from. But there was a sign sort of saying that we keep these wells up and running because before an earthquake, before a tsunami and stuff hit, we noticed some real deviation as to the normal groundwater level. And so they use that to detect as well. We've got a message from Jack. Hello, Jack. Hello, Omega Chris and Pete Supreme.
Omega. Wow.
My name is Jack, and I'm writing from Maui in Hawaii. Come on. You having a bit of that, Chris? I'd love to be in Maui.
Lucky day.
Oh, I'd love to be in Maui. I'm writing to you because I'm constructing a Japan bucket list, and I wanted to know some of the things you really want to do before your time in Japan is done. Visiting all 47 prefectures is on my bucket list, but as people who have either lived in Japan or visited Japan frequently, what say you? Keep up the great work, Jack. You were shaking your head as that was being read out. Is it, you just don't want to do it? Do not do the 47 prefectures.
Do the bucket list. Don't do 47 prefectures. The fact of the matter is so many prefectures in Japan are the same. You're not going to find anything overly unique. You know, I wouldn't do all 47 prefectures. It took me 9 years to do it. What, you know, how are you going to do
that? What are you going to do? 47
It'd be just so rushed, though, wouldn't it? It'd be so rushed.
Yeah, I guess so. 47 is just an interesting number. It always reminds me of Hitman. Agent 47.
I love it. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I've got.
That's on your bucket list. Yeah. Assassinate one person every prefecture. What's on your Japan bucket list, Pete? I bet it's something shocking.
Bucket list. I just want to go back. I want to take my partner. I want to take her to somewhere sunny and beachy and just like basically run around with her going, look at this. This is good, isn't it? This is good. And she's not that arsed because she's not that interested. But I just want to just bore the crap out of her just by like showing her stuff that she's, you know, robots and ice creams and toys and nonsense.
Robots and ice creams.
Yeah.
Robots and ice creams. It's going to be a good day when you do bring her because I do love showing friends around the first time they come to Japan and watching their faces drop when they see certain things, like walking through Shinjuku at night, seeing all the lights, or going to a robot restaurant, which is gone now, so you can't do that. It's just really cool showing friends around Japan. One of my favorite things is always taking friends to like an izakaya and then giving them loads of sake and getting loads of good food and stuff. That's always fun. Or sushi. Good sushi and sashimi. I annoyed my friend once, the editor who we mocked earlier, who may or may not be listening to this podcast, the editor of Born Japan. I took him a sushi at like 10 o'clock in the morning and he was really angry and unhappy because he didn't want to eat sushi at 10 o'clock in the morning, which I understand. To be fair, eating raw fish in the morning can be a little bit meh the first few times you do it. And I think it tainted his experience of sushi overall, and now he doesn't like it, fortunately. So, but like, I don't know, it'll be fun though. Like, what are you looking forward to showing her the most?
I just want to go to Okinawa and go swimming and snorkeling and stuff, and I want to show her all the stinky places in Shibuya I like, and just Mandrake, and you know, just Mandrake. Stuff that she wouldn't have experienced. She went briefly for a couple of days. Well, she went briefly for one day, I think, on the way to Australia about 10 years ago. I just want to go. I just want her to know why I bloody love the place, because I think she just thinks I'm a bit weird.
I wonder why.
Coming
from the guy that likes,
I mean, she knows that anyway.
Coming from the guy that likes to listen to ASMR tapes of someone stroking their fingers over a wooden comb.
She's into ASMR as well. Come on.
It can't be as bad as that, though. What does she listen to?
She likes anything. Anyone playing with people's hair.
That doesn't even make a noise. There is no noise when you touch someone's hair, surely.
Well, you know, this is like a little kind of like a ruffle, I suppose, when you touch people's hair. Ruffle.
Good God. Oh, good God. I'll help you, though. I will help you make a bucket list of things to do. Mm. I don't know. I think that's a good topic, though, for another podcast, a whole podcast dedicated to that. I would say go to an onsen, go to Mount Fuji, try and see Mount Fuji if you can, but you won't. And go to Osaka, eat some takoyaki. I think food needs to be at the heart of any bucket list, any trip to Japan. Like, build it around food. I think that would make it truly rewarding. And that is a good reason to visit all 47 prefectures, because they do a good job here of like domestic tourism, because so many people in Japan don't have a passport. So many people don't travel outside the country. They've made it the perfect place for domestic tourism. And so every prefecture has a unique dish in the way that we don't have in the UK. Like, you don't go to Essex for a certain dish, do you? Does where you are have any good food that's local?
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of seafood, oysters and the like.
Oh, right. Well,
because I now live on the seaside. But yeah, I've really got to stop doing it. I can't be just eating oysters all the time. But they're so delicious. They're probably quite good for you as well, I reckon.
Oysters and chocolate granola. Oysters and chocolate granola.
Yeah.
The Pete Donaldson diet.
Say off the chocolate granola. Oh, Chris, I have to say, I can exclusively reveal that I have indeed been to... your friend and mine, Wisconsin. So I went over the border from Chicago, went and visited Milwaukee one night after a football ramble tour, and then flew out the very next day. So yes, to answer your question earlier on, Wisconsin, I've been there.
That's what you've been doing. I've been trying to host the podcast, and Pete's been looking at his phone the entire time, going through his own photos.
Trying to figure out
of
whether
Milwaukee
I've been to Wisconsin or not.
In Wisconsin. The only thing I know about Wisconsin is that's where Red Letter Media are, and that's what they're famous for.
Red Letter Media?
The best YouTube channel ever.
Oh.
They did the, amongst other things, they did the funny Star Wars review, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, I see.
Don't you owe me. Go and watch it now. It's so good. Red Letter
All right, bye.
Right. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days, still over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have a good few days. We'll see you all over again here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.